Hello, guys and gals, me Mudahar, and, you know, the Epstein stuff just doesn't seem to end, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, there's a new bombshell development every day to the point where, honestly, I just can't keep up anymore. I think this latest drop has pretty much been one of the most insane drops in the sense that it's probably the most we've ever gotten, and it's actually the most the government has made serious, serious mistakes. Now, what kind of serious mistakes are we talking about here? Well, allegedly one of those serious mistakes is that the government has decided to distribute what is potentially CSAM material. Now, this is not supposed to be happening, okay? But, of course, unfortunately, this current government that we have, you know, A, they want to protect some really bad people, but when it comes to the victims, I mean, screw them, right? So anyways, you know, you probably read this on places like 404 Media, for instance, where they released unredacted images in their files. Some of these possibly, just possibly, being CSAM material. Now, obviously, I'm not going to teach you how to access this, but to give an understanding, this is so poorly done that I'm here on the actual, like, file, and for the first time, I'm not going to show you what data set I'm looking at. I'm not even going to show you the actual EFTA number. What I am going to show you is an actual live example of the government failing to provide this stuff. Now, to give you an idea, if I go to their actual page, for instance, right, and I decide to copy the EFTA number and just throw it in here, you can see that I get one PDF result here. That's just the one result in the data set. Now, if you actually go to that file, you can go up to the URL in some cases, and it is, in fact, so notoriously poorly handled that I can change the file format to MP4, for instance, which is a video format, hit enter.
Yes.
And it's, in fact, a video. Now, there are redactions applied to this, don't get me wrong, but they are pointed towards women, at least this video in particular, on a private airplane. So, yeah, there's a whole slew of this kind of stuff, and unfortunately it exists. The reality is there's also a lot of jail footage as well, too. A lot of the footage has been released. It's somewhat a mixture of poor redactions, and sometimes it's a mixture of legitimate videos. Now, this video could probably exist, could just be titled something differently, but the way that they've hosted these files, the way that everything works is so infantile that a lot of people have just sort of been asking, why isn't this way more transparent as it should have been? But yeah, this is just one of those cases. And unfortunately, if you're a victim, it seems like as they've released these files, they have pretty much not focused on properly protecting the victims in this case. But when it comes to the actual perpetrators, well, it seems they're pretty much given the extra protection. Now again, what I've shown you is not necessarily an issue there too. Again, the government has released video files. Unfortunately, it feels like some people are able to access video files that they shouldn't have, video files that shouldn't have been distributed, which is why a lot of victims have unfortunately come out and talked about it, and a lot of hoopla has been raised about, again, people being re-victimized. Now, the other day, I talked about an interesting method that the government, or actually third parties, were going to be using to unredact some attachments in the Epstein files. Now, actually, this method has bore some pretty serious fruit, for instance. Now, according to Mahmoud, the individual that sort of discovered and talked about this to begin with, he actually did showcase one attachment they actually ended up getting, right? So, using the Base64, they were able to build some of these attachments again, and some of them were, you know, as simple as this invitation to a breast cancer benefit. But there are other ones that are a little bit mind-blowing in this case, too. So according to Mahmoud, one of these, EFTA-00382108, which you actually open up really quickly, if you actually open it up real quick over here, you can see this is a from to. The only names here are Jeffrey, obviously, Bella Klein, Valton Cotrin, and Mark Tolleson. So of course, if you actually look over here, it has something to do with travel arrangements, where they talk about money and obviously, like, you know, just travel booking. So the thing about it is that the traveler is blanked out in this case, but we do actually have this record locator. So of course, all of this stuff kind of tracks, but interestingly enough, down over here, the attachment is in that Base64. So this is where Mahmoud actually dug out what I believe to be a pretty interesting, you know, piece. The attachment, ladies and gentlemen, is this attachment right over here, right? The actual invoice of the travel document that the government, I guess, wasn't going to release. Now, they blocked out the traveler name, right? And it turns out the traveler name is Svetlana Poshideva. Now, you might be like, well, who the fuck is this, Muda? Is this like a name that shouldn't have been released? Well, it turns out that this name actually belongs to Svetlana Poshideva, who is actually Epstein's assistant. And again, this is an article from all the way back, literally where they're discussing Epstein's Russian connections, his ties with individuals in the FSB and people in Russia. So Poshideva is a Russian national who has a long history of business relations with Epstein. According to her, after graduating, she was working as a financial analyst when she finally made it to a final round of a beauty contest, signed a contract with Elite Models modeling agency, and moved to Europe. How exactly she met Epstein is unknown. A Daily Mail source confirmed that the billionaire offered her an opportunity to study and attend conferences with academics. She was photographed for the first time leaving the mansion with Prince Andrew, while Prince Andrew, the British prince later accused of sexual assault, was staying there. So again, a redaction that necessarily didn't make any sense. This was not a victim. This was somebody that was an associate of this individual. And I don't know why the government felt that they had to fucking blank out the name. Didn't make any sense. It's not as if it was a victim. And it doesn't seem like it was somebody that was so fucking high up in Russia that it would have caused a national security situation. And again, it's not like the DOJ is chasing after anybody. So it's not like there's an active investigation that anybody reasonably knows of. So yeah, another example of, I guess, people being protected. There is another example that just blows my mind too. Like, this is an email right over here. This is EFTA017-43628.pdf. Now, of course, you can look this up yourself. And obviously, this leads us to an image DSC-06964 sent to Jeffrey. Who sent this? We have no fucking idea. All we know is it was sent September 22nd, 2016. But the contents of this email, age 10, is immediately something that just fucking blows my mind. I don't know what the age of this could be, given who this person is. I have to fucking imagine it's probably a child. It has to be something of that nature. A person, maybe their specific age in that photo. Because I'm sure as fuck not going to be, like, blind enough to think that maybe he's sharing, like, I don't know, like an image of homemade whiskey. He's like, yeah, this is the 10th year it's aging. No, I think it's reasonable to assume this might be the age of the person in this photograph, right? Now, nobody's asking the government release this photo. That's obviously not the thing. But who the fuck is sending that kind of information? Why is that person being protected? That's a problem. You know, this was one document called EFTA-0273-1082. Now, I can view this on a platform known as jmail.world, where they archive all of these files. Now, the reality is you can't view this on the actual Epstein files, because if you grab this EFTA, it's actually been removed. Like, if you actually throw that in here, search, no results found. None of that. However, it did exist, and you want to know what that document consisted of? An investigation into the potential co-conspirators of Jeffrey Epstein. So again, the thing that most people are interested in, right? The guy is dead. Long dead is that piece of shit. But who else is in the network, you know, facilitating such a sick practice for the elite in our world? That is the question that everyone is reasonably asking. So obviously, this focuses on Ghislaine Maxwell and Leslie Groff, two names that we know very well. However, why doesn't the investigation focusing on these individuals mention the fucking redactions, okay? You know, at the end of the day, there was no allowance for a redaction to be made if it was going to cause embarrassment or public issues for someone. If your name was in these files and you were not a victim or a national security concern, your name should have been released, okay? Simple as that. But the government does not want to do that. In fact, it's to a point that Bill Clinton, who also was mentioned numerous times in these files, has come out and said, yeah, by the way, I've called for a full release. I provided a sworn statement, and I've agreed to appear before the committee. Now, Bill, it's great that you're saying this, but you've got Twitter, buddy. You've got Twitter. Just fucking release what you know. Might as well, right? Like, if these people care about so much transparency, honestly, like, these people are the end of their lives anyways. Like, what? Who gives a shit? Really, who gives a shit? Release the information. You've got a platform. 252,000 people liked this post. Might as well go. Might as well release it. Okay? Come on now. Just put the fucking names on the on the tweets, bro. And this is why it's so tough for me to take any of these people seriously, because they're all in on it, you know? Like, it doesn't matter what side you're on. They're all running this big game, and we, as literal cockroaches in comparison, like little fucking ants, are just begging for a bit of justice to happen, right? Like, a bit of justice. You know, when I read emails where sick fucks like this are writing words age 10, and you know what these people are involved into, and they're sending photos, I mean, that was sent on Gmail, for crying out loud, dude. How are you not able to proceed through this? You know, there's jokes being made that, you know, Epstein didn't go through, like, the dark web or, like, layers of encryption. The motherfucker was doing this all on Gmail, okay? He's doing this all on a tapped service. Like, over here, when you read these documents where they talk about co-conspirators, it's like, we evaluate where there is sufficient evidence to charge. So, again, this is not an indictment. This is more like they're internally assessing, hey, could we do these charges against blank, whoever this person is, blank, 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 Leslie Groff and or Ghislaine Maxwell. Why are these names so blanked out? You know, if anything, it's like these people, if they're named in here in connection, that needs to be brought to light. That needs to be exposed. Imagine if these people are rich and powerful, which, you know, they probably are. They probably have assets. Wouldn't it be advisable to at least leak those names out so people around the world are looking at it with more scrutiny, right? These people and their connections. When you hide these predators from the light, okay, alleged predators, of course, they're just allowed to do whatever they need to, okay? They have full carte blanche access. How is it that this is tolerated by society? Now, of course, there have been other documents that have been brought up that people are talking about as guidelines for redactions, right? So, for instance, internally, a memorandum with the FBI and whatnot, here they talk about, hey, do you know what's a guidance for redacting images or who would be able to assist with the guidance of, you know, CSAM victims, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, they did a really great job with this section, by the way. Brilliant fucking work over the Federal Bureau. Good morning, sir. IMD RIDS requests guidance redacting photographs. Who is protected under this transparency task? Okay, so here they're talking about who is it. As mentioned before, we need guidance to redact 1B items. IMD RIDS is requesting clear and consistent guidance to process 1B items. There are several boxes that need to be processed, and the sooner they have clear and consistent guidance, the sooner they'll start processing those items. So 1B items contain photographs of multiple individuals to include the subjects of investigation, Epstein and Maxwell. IMD RIDS needs clear and specific guidance to redact those photographs. Some photographs depict victims, unknown identified males and females, former US presidents, Secretary of State, and other celebrities. The software does not have IA facial recognition to assist with the identification of some public officials and celebrities. So please advise how you would like the team to move on. So obviously for me, this isn't the crazy like bombshell that some people are making it out to be, but obviously you do mention that, hey, at least we're confirmed internally. There's former US presidents there, okay. There's Secretary of States in there, at least the Secretary of State at the time, and other celebrities. So they know that obviously the victims have to be protected. Unknown identified female and males, those have to be presented. Unless, of course, they fall into the victim category and you find out, which can be a little bit tougher because as the case develops, you may not know somebody is a victim, but you might accidentally release their shit and you might find out in the future. But things like celebrities, fucking presidents, Secretary of State, I mean, why even include that in the pool? Just, again, it's like they admit it that these people exist without kind of admitting it. It's just, why? You know, what the fuck? Now, there was one file in particular that was brought up to me that was a little bit suspicious. Now, this is a actual, apparently, like, release. This is from the actual files, EFTA-001. 00013180. And here they talk about, you know, a statement on the death of defendant Jeffrey Epstein. So for instance, Manhattan Jeffrey S. Berman said earlier this morning, the Manhattan Correctional Facility confirmed that Jeffrey Epstein, who faced charges brought by this office, had been found unresponsive in a cell. So again, what makes this really shocking, obviously, is that A, it's in the official files, but also it is tagged Friday, August 9th, 2019, which obviously for anybody that's been following this even in the slightest, Epstein's body was actually discovered on the 10th of August, 2019. Now, when it was discovered, I believe it was the time of 6:30 a.m. So yeah, 6:30 a.m. is when the guy was found. Now, obviously, it's pretty suspicious that a day before, a memo is already set for immediate release talking about this situation. Now, ultimately, unless you have the original metadata for this, I'm not so sure. What apparently a lot of journalists have said about this, and a lot of people that have covered this stuff, you know, for decades at this point. I guess when a big event happens, like a draft gets like prepared, maybe they found the body earlier than 6:30. Maybe it was a day before. To be completely real with you, I find it weird that a day before this gets like drawn up. Again, I don't want to just jump into the conspiratorial side of it, but to me, it just doesn't make sense, right? Like, obviously, if the body is found 6 hours allegedly after the after August 9th ends, then wouldn't the draft for this be like, even if you factored in the entire U.S. time zone, it just doesn't make sense. You know, just none of this makes sense to me, considering the fact that you wake up at 6:30. Obviously, you see this entire shit happen. You can't just preemptively, you know, have a premonition that somebody is gonna fucking die. It's just August 10th happens. This number doesn't make any sense to me. And I don't know how anybody can convince anybody that it would make any sense. But that's the reality. Now, ultimately, the end, what's coming out here, is apparently now, it seems as if the government is actually gonna come out and give unredacted, like, Epstein files, at least to people in Congress, okay? So fuck the people, the public that they're accountable for and actually answering. Nope, they're just gonna give it to the people in Congress. Now, are the people in Congress gonna leak this stuff out? According to the guy Thomas Massie, who I mentioned quite a fair bit, he's the one that brought this alongside another individual, Ro Khanna. They actually worked together to do this. So he is claiming that, you know, he's just gonna leak names, okay? And I am 100% in fucking support of that, okay? Like, at the end of the day, sickos need to be brought to light, justice needs to be pursued, but one thing is certain, the government is a fucking bastard when it comes to delivering justice. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it seems more information is coming out to light with citizen journalists and tech heads than the government will ever be accountable for. One thing is, and it will be written down in the history books, this might be one of the most shadiest administrations that we've probably ever seen. The Epstein cover-up is probably the worst cover-up I've ever seen happen, and the fact that it's happening in real time in front of us, it's truly a sight to behold. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, this is me, Mudahar, and I'm out.